God is awesome in this place.
Our faith is built each time we hear the Word of God. We hope you'll enjoy this life-changing message from Countryside Christian Center. When you finish, feel free to share this tape with others. Our church address is 1850 McMullen Booth Road, Clearwater, Florida, 33759. You can reach us by calling 727-799-1618 or log on to www.countrysidechristiancenter.org.
Okay, look around and see if you have someone that's here without a Bible right now. Just we wouldn't do that. I see some worn Bibles. That's good. Lord, we just thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your family. We thank you, you're the Lord that accepts us where we are, the way we are. Whether it's with many sins or a few sins, Lord, whether we're rich, whether we're poor, whether we're young, whether we're old, and success or failure, Lord, whatever it is, God, we've all sinned, we've all failed. And that you're the Lord that's accepted us today. And Father, that you're no respecter of men, and the truth is the truth, and we lift it up now. And Lord, you honor it above your own name as the foundation of your throne. And we honor you, Lord, just by listening to this word and putting it in our heart today. So anoint me as your vessel, Lord, as you impart this truth, Holy Spirit, to us. And Lord, anoint us as we receive this. God, again today, I pray you tailor this word to every individual in this room, as well as minister to us corporately as a church. Now we praise you, and we ask you to be glorified in the name of Jesus, Father. We thank you. Amen. Last week, I began and will be sharing a number of different series with you called Journey to Victorious Living. And that there's going to be a lot of mini series that will make up this whole group of series. First one that I began is called The Will of God, that in knowing God, we're going to know His will. And shared with you that it's not just knowing God, it's not just through being born again, but it's developing a relationship. It's knowing God, knowing His love. That in that, there's going to be a great trust as we come to know Him and know His word and know His heart for us. That faith works by that love. We know God wants to bless us. And we can trust Him. That He's got a plan for your life, and that's the only way that we can know fulfillment and know a prosperity in every area of our lives, and no joy, and that's the Father's heart. He wants every person to know that will. He says, be not unwise in understanding God's will for your life, as the scripture says. So we talked about knowing God and this love relationship, and then trusting Him, and then seeking Him. If God's got the plan, we need to find out what it is, and that should be a priority of our life. And today I want to share the second part of the will of God. My message is called The Greatest Obstacle to Finding the Will of God. The Greatest Obstacle to Finding the Will of God. I want to read to you Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to start in verse 16, read through the 18th verse. It says, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and in earth. The visible, the invisible, whether there be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him, that He is before all things, and that by Him all things consist. He holds it all together. It's all for Him. It's all by Him. It's His. He owns it all. Everything you see in any direction belongs to God. And He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have preeminence. And we know that God even became a man, that He entered into the human race, that He could overcome death and hell and the power of sin, and that He raised from the dead as the first fruits, the firstborn from the dead, that He'd have preeminence over the church. And then all of us are going to be raised. Now, God's word declares, and His creation demonstrates, that God has an order and a design in everything, whether it's the physical realm, whether it's the celestial, the heavenlies, whether it's in the moral realms, that everything is made according to a master plan, from the smallest to the largest. So God is the center of all things. God is the center of all things. He's the head. He's preeminent. He's first. He's the Lord. He's the ruler. That everything revolves around Him. Everything. And as we investigate, you know, his master design, we see centers, you know, working within centers. Yet all are properly related to the ultimate center. So everything is subservient to something else. It all works in perfect harmony. That there's a oneness in all things. So everything exists for the whole. There's no independence in God's creation. It all works toward the whole as God is the head of it. And I want us to take a look at the heavens and the celestial because they declare this glorious design. You know, in recent years, because of the advanced technology, they have created some awesome telescopes. And that they have pierced into the vastness of space and opened up things to us that, you know, we never saw before. And the first thing that I want to talk about is our own solar system. Our own solar system with its nine planets, you know, revolve around our sun. Now, compared to other solar systems, you know, it's really very small. Now, you just stay with me. This is all going to come together here. You know, this is not your science class, you know. But there will be a quiz at the end, so you better take notes. That our solar system is just really an infinitesimal part of this, you know, vast system in the heavenlies. And to give you an idea of how large it is, that it's 93 million miles from the Earth to the Sun. We may remember that from science or somewhere along the line. And if we would look at that on a measure, if this foot, if in a measure of scale, that this is 93 million miles, that's what this represents, 93 million miles. This is the space from the Earth to the Sun. And if we look at our planets, now that's not in scale what you're seeing on your screen. The planet that's furthest away from the sun is what? Pluto. That's right. And if we would measure on this scale, so 1 foot equals what? 93 million miles. So if Pluto from the sun would be that way, not 1 foot, it would be that way 50 feet. 50 times 93 million. That's how far Pluto is, to give you an idea. Now, if we look from our sun to the next closest sun, which is a star, to the next closest star, to our star, it would be that way, if this measured 93 million miles, it would be that way 50 miles. 93 million miles here, you know, we're talking about measured by 50 miles in this scale of 1 foot. So that as we see it, it's huge, but compared to all this, it's just something so small. Now, scientists tell us that there are at least 240 million solar systems like our own that form our galaxy. And that these 240 million solar systems, I see glazed eyes, you know, like deer looking in the headlights, you know. 240 million solar systems form our galaxy. And that, again, you know, it's a very small galaxy compared to these other immense galaxies that are out there. But that they form this immense wheel. So here we have our own solar system, nine planets. What's it doing? It's revolving around our sun. And that this one solar system joins in with 240 million other solar systems, make up our own galaxy. And that this galaxy, again, it's revolving around its own center. So this huge galaxy of 240 million solar system It's slowly revolving. All these revolving in their sphere, but all this huge thing revolving around. Right. Now, that's fantastic, but there's more. It's staggering. There are at least, the scientists tell us, 40 billion galaxies. 40 billion galaxies made up of all these, you know, countless solar systems, and they're revolving around an ultimate center, the center of centers. Now, can you guess what that center is? God, the throne of God. That everything, all these solar systems, all these galaxies, the whole universe is slowly moving around an unseen center. To the farthest reaches, whatever that is God on his throne controls all things. So from his throne, everything functions in this balanced perfection, like a great mechanism of wheels within wheels. Even in the book of Ezekiel, he's called the wheel. In the middle of the wheels, we see the throne of God. It's like, you remember what mobiles, you ever make a mobile and how you balance parts? Maybe, you know, they don't do that anymore. When we were kids, you know, you made mobiles in school and hang them in your room, and they usually, something, you know, you threw away later. But they have these, they awesome mobiles, you know, artists have made. It's like this God's just hung the solar systems, you know, everything in its perfect balance as it all rotates around the throne of God, from the largest to the smallest. Now, this same glorious design is seen as we move from the telescope into the microscope. They're microscopic universes within that universe. And so in turning from the telescope, we find this miniature universe. And in it is the same design. You know, within every molecule, there are entire universes of atoms. And that's just one little molecule there. But you know, multiply that times millions, 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 millions of molecules. And that within these molecules are universes of atoms that move around their center. Probing even further, then we find in every atom that there are hundreds of electrons, negative particles of electricity. They're revolving with great speeds, you know, around a positive center. So from this hidden universe within each atom, how many atoms are there, you know, just in this part of creation in our earth? It's just innumerable. And so here's this vast universe. And so from this hidden universe within the atom to the majestic universes of heaven, see, we see every center from the most minute atom to the most gigantic wheel of galaxies. Everything is related perfectly to the ultimate center, to God himself. And that he has priority over every center. And it's God who spoke all these things into existence. And I have a lot more difficult time believing that it came out of nothing and then evolved. That God made it. He put it all in this perfect balance. Now, I want us to see that everything that's made is to exist for the whole. Everything that's made exists for the whole. It's not, you know, that everything's shooting off in its own direction, doing its own thing. Everything is in perfect order. And that's what God's design is for everything. Let's take a look at the physical. Let's take a look at the physical structure of the body. And consider the smallest unit of life. The smallest unit of life is what? Cell. The cell. The cell is the smallest unit of life. We're told that all cells, when they begin their existence, are capable of being whole. So when a cell is created, they're created if they desire to be the whole. But they renounce that privilege of independence, so to speak, to surrender themselves to be related to the whole. And when that cell does this, in doing this, they serve the whole, and then they fulfill the purpose of their being and help to fulfill the purpose of whatever they're a part of. Does that make sense to you? And so each cell loses its life, so to speak, to find it. Does that sound familiar? When a cell refuses to surrender and serve the whole, but it lives for itself, the result of that is cancer. Cancer. That's what happened when a cell refuses to yield its right to be, it stays independent instead of becoming a part of the whole, it causes cancer. And if we know what happens physically, if it's not caught, you know, early, then, you know, that cancer grows and becomes a group of cells, and they're trying to be the whole. This should speak to us. We can see it, you know, in the physical, these cells, self-centered, living for themselves, selfish, greed, feeding, independent, unrelated to the whole. And what happens? That this cancer destroys healthy cells if it's not arrested. And eventually, it kills the very host that it's feeding on. And then by killing the host, what happens? Kills itself. Well, the same thing is true in the spiritual realm. That is the best definition of sin I've ever heard. That's what sin is. It's like experiencing a spiritual cancer. That as we choose to be independent of God's design and become our own center, it brings destruction to people around us, brings destruction to our own lives. In a way, in the end, we're going to lose our life and die. There's a way that seems right, and to man, the end thereof is death. So when we're ruled by sin, it's rebellion against God. Instead of being a part of the whole and related to God and His plan, we walk in independence. It's rebellion. My way, greed, lust, me. I'm at the center. Everything revolves around me, not around God. And so we see it in the spiritual realm that every problem we have in this world has come because of this cancer of sin in people. And, you know, there's some that's real obvious. You know, that we see the sin of greed that enters into society, you know, with rape and with murder and thievery and drug addiction and alcoholism. And it doesn't just affect that person, it affects the people that he violates. Just like cancer, it eats. It's self-serving. It destroys. It can destroy a family. Alcoholism not just only destroys the person that's drinking, but ends up destroying the relationship in that family. It affects not only just the husband or the wife, but it affects the children's lives, and even can affect the grandchildren's lives. The pornography is not some harmless thing that's just you do alone. It affects the very warp and woof of your being and who you are, and that who you are affects your relationships with your wife and with your children, and those things are in you and affects their lives like a cancer, a hidden cancer that we think, oh, it's no big thing. And we see this, you know, it can just be something else, you know, maybe not as big a thing as alcoholism or drug abuse or, you know, these crimes or of people that are ensnared, you know, in other sins. But it can have to do with your attitude of self-centeredness. You know, to lose our temper when we don't get our way and to deal with things through selfishness. And then it affects our marriages and puts strife in our marriages because of that self-centeredness. It's her fault. And if she just get with it and understand that she's the problem all the time, then we get along. Don't you get this in your head? You're the problem. Now I know Baptists have fights in their marriages, but I know that there's no one in this room who's ever had an argument in your marriage or in your home. I know that. And when you do, you know, it's done in such a sanctified manner. You know, it's like, oh, honey, I love you so much. You're so wonderful. And if you would please beg me to differ with you, can I share, you know, my side of the story? Why, of course, honey. That's what this marriage is all about. You know, just go ahead and share with me. I have an open mind. And, you know, I know that's the way you deal with things, you know. See, but if we don't let the Spirit of God control our lives and we're in harmony with God, then even as Christians, I'm not talking about the big bad world out there. I'm talking about us. That it affects our lives. And so that the Lord has called each one of us, you know, to surrender. So we see that everything we face, the problems we have, it's because of our not surrendering to the center as God is the center of our lives. So here's the next thing I want to ask you. What's the greatest obstacle to finding the will of God? It's our own surrender and yieldedness to God and to His will. That's what it is. So we're looking for some, Pastor, I wanted some, you know, simple solution. You know, I want to know God's will, and you were just supposed to say, there it is. No, it has to do with the relationship with you. It has to do with what your relationship is. If you're in balance with God, you see, we're talking about the very foundation of the kingdom of God, the very foundational relationship that you have. It's Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life. It's the Lordship of Jesus Christ that affects God's will for your life. It affects everything. See, it's allowing Him to be the center of your life. It's seeking Him in all things that we'd find out what His will is for our life. He's the one that got the plan. That's why, even when we come to the Lord, what's the beginning? How does our salvation come? How does our born-again experience come with Christ? If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart. It's confessing with our mouth the Lord. He's the head. Lord Jesus. Not just Jesus. Lord Jesus. He's the head. The ruler of our lives. And we believe in our heart. Why our hearts? Because the heart is the throne of our life where we rule and all decisions are made. That's why we acknowledge Him as the Lord of our lives, of our heart. It happens in our heart of hearts, from the very throne. Listen what it says in Proverbs 4:23. David said, keep thine heart with all diligence. Excuse me, Solomon. Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of your heart all the issues of life. This is the throne. It all flows from your heart. How we see things, how we do things, how we respond, everything that happens. Listen to what David says in the Psalms. Psalm 26, he said, examine me, O Lord, and prove me, test me, try me, try my reins in my heart. Just like we have hold of a horse's reins. God, just pull on the reins. See if I won't respond to your tug. See if my will's not surrendered to you. Try me, test me. See, Lord, if I want to respond to the tugging, pull on my heart and see if I won't do that. Well, that's what God expects to every one of us, that we have a yielded heart, that we surrender. We've given it all to Him, every area of our life, every realm, everything that revolves in our life and touches us in any way. We give it all to God. It's a blank page. We say we erase it all. We loose everything. We give it all to You. We give it all to Your Lordship. Take charge of it. You're the Lord of it. It's God Inc. now that's going to run my life. I'm not going to do it through John Lloyd Inc. It's God Inc. that's going to do it through the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Listen to what David says. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me. Test me. Know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. See if there's anything out of order, Lord. See if there's any wrong motives or anything that I'm doing to displease you. And lead me in the way everlasting. Then he leads, he directs me, guides me, that there's nothing in our heart that's going to keep God from being the Lord of all. So we're talking about, you know, the foundation of the kingdom, the lordship of Jesus Christ. It's surrender. Surrender and obedience to our Lord is the only way to ever know His will. There is no other way. So we can talk about knowing the will of God and go through all kinds of things, but until they're surrendered to the Lord and obedience to our Lord, you're never going to find the will of God. Psalm 37, you know, we get some clues. He says, you know, trust in the Lord. And he says, and you'll be fed and dwell in the land. It means he'll take care of you. He'll give you a secure dwelling. He'll take care of your needs. He'll bring it to pass. You got to trust in God. That's what I talked about last week. You know, knowing God in a loving relationship that he loves us, we can trust him. And there's a lot of things you can't trust, but you can trust God. His you're in his heart. He cares for you. He wants to provide for you. And he loves you more than you ever can imagine. He made you. He wants to see your life full. And it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. You know, when you delight yourself in the Lord, then you're putting God first. You're seeking God. You're delighting in God. It's the priority that God is the head of our lives. We're delighting in Him above everything else in our life. He's first in our lives. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. To trust Him, to know that He wants to bring you into that place of a blessing and prosperity, and He knows you, and He made you, and He knows just what you're looking for. But it'll never happen until you yield, until you trust Him and begin to delight in God. Instead of us thinking, we're going to do this thing somehow. And then the next verse says that we are to surrender to Him. It says, commit thy way into the Lord, trust also in Him, and then He'll bring it to pass. Commit your way into Him. Commit. Surrender. I yield. I give up. I surrender, God. I commit all my ways to You. You said You'd bring it to pass. I'm taking my hands off. As long as you keep what's in your hand, God is not going to open up His hand and give you what He has for you. We're saying, I'm going to do it my way. Yeah, your puny little hand around something that's so meaningless. You know, this puny little hand that you won't let loose of that. That God's saying, let loose of that relationship. No. It's destroying your life. Can't you see what's happening, what it's doing to you? This is pulling me away from You. It's even affecting your family and friends. You're hanging on to this. The things that you're involved in, this relationship. You know, it's a cancer in your life. You can't even see it. I like it. God says, you know, if you let go, I'll give you what's in my hand. God's got a lot bigger hand than you've got. Man, whatever God's got in His hand, He's got something great for you. You know, that we surrender, we give unto the Lord. Man, I'll tell you, that's why God deals so much with this money thing in our lives. Man, I made it. I earned it. It's mine. And I'm controlling it, and I'm going to keep it and do whatever I want with it. It's mine. Mine. Man, you are squeezing George Washington so tight, he's gasping for breath. He's going, he turned green. Hallelujah. You know, let loose. So, you know, you're hanging on to one George Washington. God's wanting to bring a truckload of George Washingtons in your head. You know, it's letting go. It's trusting God. It's yielding. It's committing, surrendering, recognizing it's God's will. It's God's plan. Bringing it into harmony with God's great plan. He owns it all. When we get out of orbit, we're over here doing our own thing apart from God. It can be in any area of our life. If the Lord is not Lord of all, He's not Lord at all. Say it with me. If the Lord's not Lord of all, He's not Lord at all. So we think, you know, well, I gave Him this and this and this. You know, that's enough. What's He expect me to give this and this? Yeah. He gives it everything to trust God. God's the one that has the plan. How can He do anything until you're really willing to surrender and put all the pieces in His hand? He broke all this stuff. Now give Him all the broken pieces and let Him put it together in your life. He can't fix it until He has all the pieces. And so, you know, we've got to yield. So Jesus said in Luke 9, verse 23, he said to them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. What's that? Surrender. Deny himself. Surrender. Take up his cross daily. What's the cross? It's an instrument of death. Die to yourself every day. Yield. Surrender. And what? Follow me. You want to know God's will? Start following Jesus. He'll show you the way to go. Where do I go? That way. Jesus has gone this way. You're walking in the will of God. You know, but instead of that, you know, how can we ever know God's will if we won't yield control to the Lord? God bless you. How can we ever find God's will if we won't yield control? So it's in everything the Lord, you know, he wants to take charge. Everything we do. So what do? We don't even consider God. We're so used to being the head. I'm talking to Christian people. My way. So what? Get up in the morning. Monday morning. Praise God. I'm on my way. I'm going to go do it. Hallelujah. Here I go. Here I go. Here I go. Here I go. Whoop. What happened? What happened today? Man, you know, we don't even stop to say, God, what do you want? Lead my ways. What do you have for me today? What's your will? What's your plan? You know, great church Sunday morning, and then Monday morning is back into Independence Day. Going to do it my way. Not even going to seek God. Everything that was said yesterday. You know, get up in the morning. Go, Lord, I praise you. I thank you for this day. I thank you. Everything I have has come from your hand. Everything. Everything I have, it's yours. I yield my life. I present my life to you today. You know, as we pray and ask your blessing, Lord, and ask for God's will and God's direction, show me the way I should go today. Put together those things that I would be aware, Lord, of those things that you bring into my life and people that you bring in my path and those circumstances, whether they seem good or adverse, that you're the one that's directing it all and that you're going to bring good out of every one of them, and that I'd be aware of everything that happens today. You're the Lord that's directing my footsteps, and I need your wisdom and I need your favor. So, Lord, I yield this day to you and to your control now as you speak to me, and then we yield and then we trust God through the day, and then he's going to lead and he's going to cause those things to happen, because I said, Lord, I need you. I get off of this throne. I yield to you. Amen. And we do that with everything. If there's anything that's not surrendered to the Lord, we got big problems. You're going to cause planets in your life to run into each other, explode. They're out of orbit. They're not revolving around God and his plan, his throne. Everything. He cares about your relationships. He cares about who you're with, what you're doing. He cares about what you're watching, what you're listening to, what you're looking at. He cares about everything you have and your money, everything you own, all of it. We're stewards of all of it. Is he the Lord of all then? He's going to give me wisdom. Don't buy that. That's foolish. What are you getting that for? It's really cool. You got 30 of them. To be stewards, that we yield everything to the Lord. So God's got something so awesome for you, but it's not going to happen to you, yield and surrender. It can't. So he waits. He's dealing with us to let go of all these things we're trying to do. And you know, so okay, I want to know God's will. I want to know God's will. I want to ask you a question. Is it a head problem or a heart problem? If I just, you know, knew. Is the problem knowing God's will? If I just knew God's will, I'd do whatever he asks. If God would just tell me what he wants, I would do that. That's what I would do. If I only knew the will of God, is that the problem? Or is it doing God's will? That God wants you to do what you already know to do and obey him. What's he asking? To do what he already showed you. He already gave you some first steps. And so if we can't obey God in small areas, why do we think God's going to give us more? If we can't surrender in the first instructions that he gave us to do, why do you think, you know, that something else is going to happen? He says, start here. Start with go. Do what you already know to do. You know, what's God's word say to do? Let's take the first steps. Believe on me and be baptized. Baptized. I don't have to do that. God said to do it. It's in his manual. First thing said, I just want to know God's will. God says, there's my will. Start and obey me in this small thing. You know, just be obedient to me here and do what I'm calling you to do. Why is it you call me Lord, Lord, and don't obey the things that I ask you to do? I just want to know your will. I'm telling you that's my will. That it's an act of showing the congregation that you are mine and that you've surrendered and that you've died to yourself, that you've been buried and you're raised in newness of life, and now your life is mine. You've yielded everything in your life and saying, here, Lord, here's my life. Amen. So whatever it is, in small areas, you know, God wants us to follow the manual. We want to do it our way. I don't want to do that. You better start finding out what the manual says. Do it God's way. Start obey the small things. What's God say to do? What does the Lord say about that? Man, just start reading through Psalms. Start reading through Proverbs. Man, there's a lot of wisdom. God tells you how to deal with a lot of things. Better start finding out. Read the manual this week. My phone died. Just died right in my hand. I was even using it in a spiritual way. I was talking to Pastor Nick Panico with my phone. Finished my conversation. Hung up. Everything was fine. I looked at my phone. It was black. I said, that's unusual. It hasn't been beeping me. It didn't say it had a low battery or anything. Tried to power it up. Won't power up. It was dead. So I said, all right. So I go to the store. So they said, they try, it maybe needs a new battery. No, your battery's good. Your phone's dead. What can you do? Well, if you do this and this and this and that. Or, you know, we'll give you a new phone if you just re-up your plan with us. So I said, okay, what's that entail? We'll give you a new phone. Won't cost you anything. All you got to do is, you know, just sign up for us for another 100 years for the cell company. And we'll give you another, you know, phone. I said, sounds reasonable. Okay. Praise the Lord. So they give me a new phone. And then they tell me, well, I said, you know, get all the numbers out on the phone, because I had about 200 numbers in there, you know. So if you could, you know, put those. No, we can't do that, because you don't have this, what is it called, a SIM card or whatever it is, you know. He said, you don't have one of those in your phone. He said, if your phone would fire up, then we could put it on the computer here and we could get all your numbers, but we can't do that. So this is great. This will be a great experience. Okay. So then I get my new phone. Well, you know, it's all different than my old phone. This lady comes on there. You know, the computer's talking to me. You know, will you be quiet, lady? I want to push this button and find out what's going on, you know. You keep telling me do this and do this. I'm trying to get over here. I don't want to know about that right now. You know, just this pushing the button, you know, and do this and this and this. I can't. I just want to get this and find out and put this in here and do this and this and this. I'm saying, I can't get this thing, dear. I can't get it over. She said, you know, why don't you read the manual? Well, you know, I mean, it's got buttons like my other phone. You know, I can figure this out. So I'm going to go on and go on and go on. I don't know. She said it to me in the course of a couple of days, two or three times, you know. Why don't you read the manual? But that's the way it is with us and God. You know, we're going to do it our own way. You know, of course I couldn't get it to work right. And that's what we try to do with the plan for our life. We tried it to get to work light, but we don't want to read the manual. We don't want God's input. We don't want to get up in the morning and read the word. We don't want to pray. We don't want to see God. We don't want to be faithful. The Lord says, be faithful to his house. It says, put him first. He says, you put me first, everything will start working right. Read the manual. Find out what I want to do with your life. You know, that we begin to yield, we begin to surrender to God. Praise God. God's the one who puts everything in place. We think, if I just do this, then everything's going to work. No, no. You know, God would do it when we yield to him and find out what he wants us to do. And we make him the Lord. That our own little solar system's out of control. Because we haven't made him the head. So, why would God show us more if we can't follow him in what we know to do already? Start with the basics. Be faithful in small things. Why does God want to, if you can't be faithful with that $1 bill, why does God want to bring a whole truckload of them to you, you know, when you can't be faithful with one? God says, do it my way. Well, it doesn't make sense. You know, a lot of times God's will doesn't make sense. You just obey God. You just do what he tells you to do. If you knew the outcome of what was going to happen, then it wouldn't be trust. It wouldn't be faith. God doesn't show you, you know. I mean, he gives us the promises of what's going to happen. But, you know, we got to go through that thing. So here, look at here. So I want us to see this progressive thing, how God shows us. So, you know, God wants to give light to us. You know, he says, don't be unwise in understanding my will is. God wants you to know his will even more than you do. So God has light. He's going to give you direction. First of all, it says, thy word is a lamp unto thy feet. Get light. So he's reading you're reading the word. There's light that comes through that. There's light that comes through those impressions that God gives as we're praying. And so God sends a signal to us, you know, that to know his will. So here it is. You know, God gives us light. And now it's that we're knowing the will of God. So what are we going to do with it? Are we going to respond to it? Are we going to obey it? God's made clear to people all over this room things that he wants you to do. It's clearly written out in the manual. But no, we don't want to do that. We want to bypass that. And so what happens? We just stay on that first step. God wants us to take it up. But we just keep walking that same old, that step just keeps going. You know, it never goes up. We know to do the will of God, but we don't do it. God says, I keep tugging your heart. I keep telling you to do this, but you won't do it. You don't trust me. You're not being obedient. You're not doing it my way. You're out of orbit. It's really rebellion. It's independence. I know better than God. I'm on the throne. I'm not giving this area of my life to God. I'm in control of this area. I'm not going to do that. I don't want to give that up. I don't want to do that. I don't want to have to do that. That would be inconvenient. I don't want to have to be in church. I'm not going to rush here. I'd have to make a commitment to be there. You know, so God's channel light says, this is what I really want for you. So, okay. So finally we get to the place. And it usually happens, you know, we're going through some trials now. Because God's more interested in what you are than just promoting you. He wants you to have character. Why should God promote you if you don't have character, you know, enough to handle what he's given you already? Amen. This is good stuff. You're so quiet. I know this is a good message. I can tell because everybody's like, this is really good. You're not even looking right and left right now. You know, it's kind of like, ugh. And so God sends these trials in our life. He's trying to get our attention. So we walk in his will and he deals with us. And he's not going to promote us, you know. If you want to go through the wilderness another time around, go ahead, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 through the wilderness. Or you can obey God. And so when we obey God, what? Now it's our doing. We do the will of God. And what happens? He promotes us. And so now we're up to the next level. It's like it starts all over again. So God just doesn't promote you and everything's great from then on. No, God's not satisfied. He wants to keep building. This is a process till we go to heaven. So we keep growing. God's got more for you. Whatever you got right now, I promise you, God's got more for you. God's got more ahead for your life. When we say, hey, this is good, no, this is not good. God's got a lot more for your life. He's always going to stretch us. And so what happens, you know, we come up to the next level. So now he shines light again. So he shows us more. This is what I have next for you. This is what I want you to do. Or maybe a number of things. You know, he's bringing us into that place of obedience in a lot of areas of our life. That he's wanting us to walk, you know, with responsibility and start dealing with a lot of these things. So again, you know, if we're not cooperating with God, then he's just like he puts us on hold. So some of you wonder, why? What's holding me back? How come this isn't happening? Why didn't this break? God's saying, because I'm waiting on you to respond to me. It's like checkers. We're saying, God, it's your move. Come on. I'm praying. Why aren't you doing this thing? And you know, do you ever play checkers? And you're sitting there for a long time. And then you're saying, come on, it's your move. And the guy says, I moved a long time ago. You ever do that? That's what we're saying. Come on, God, it's your move. And God says, I already moved. I've been waiting on you. I already showed you my will. Now I'm waiting on you to move. I'm waiting on you to obey and do what I told you to do. When are you going to take care of this thing right here? Well, it's just a small thing. Well, that small thing means a lot to me. And when you obey me there, then I'll give you some bigger things. If you can't be responsible with this little thing. And so then when we obey that, then again now, and it's in our doing. We obey God and do what God's telling us to do. We get that in order. It could be a million things, you know. Could have to do with the relationships, could have to do with your work, could have to do with your stewardship, could have to do with, you know, obedience or sins in your life or something that's sidetracked or you got in. And you say, that doesn't matter. It does matter. And so then you go to the next step, and you know, that's the same thing. And then it may be a long time or it can be a short time. You just get it and do it. And after a while, if we just start being compliant to the will of God and we just learn how to do it when the Lord speaks, you know, we just do obedience is to be immediate. What happens with your kids if you ask them to do something and they don't do it for a long time? Buddy, I asked you to clean up your room 2 years ago. Yeah. I'm going to do it, you know, give me some time, you know. It's the same with God. You know, obedience is to be right away. Hello? So here we go. So God shines light to us, we respire, we do it, God lifts us up. God shines more light to us, then, you know, it's in our knowing what God, then we walk, and then God keeps lifting us up, keeps promoting us, things begin to happen, all these things begin in life, because we're in orbit with God, and we're obeying God, and God's got something good for us. Now I want to close today by saying this. So God gives us light. You know, when we surrender and obey Him, then God gives more light. And that I've been talking about surrender. Number three is surrender and obedience always, always brings victory and promotes God's plan. Always. I want to give you a few examples that are so obvious. Let's look at Jesus Himself. When Jesus came to the end of His journey here on earth, and that as he was praying and crying, agonizing about the will of God, man, Lord, if there's any way, if you could just, you know, just take this cross from me, if there's any other way to do it. He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Don't tell me this is just some small thing. There was a temptation. He was pulled. Satan was in on this deal. You can count on it. So why? Jesus was the only righteous man that ever, He never sinned. He never violated God's will. Never. One time. If Satan could tempt Him just